Hi, this is Matt Welsh with Spiritual Media Blog, and tonight we are here with Scott Brandon Hoffman, visionary comedian, host, writer, producer, inspirational speaker, and master business consultant. Scott, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Absolutely, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about how to market and promote spiritual content, entertainment, books, movies, websites, and this can sometimes be an interesting topic to talk about. So I just, to get things started, what advice, basic suggestions might you have for people out there who want to know how to market and promote spiritual content?
Well, I think it depends on what they're promoting to start with. The basics, I'm a big fan of keeping things simple and easy because it can be really overwhelming. You know, it's like you go out there and you buy this course and that course, or you go to this teacher and that teacher and you spend thousands of dollars, and they make it, a lot of people make things really, really complicated, and a lot of it takes a long time to learn. But the real basics, you know, in this day and age, unless you're getting on media, you know, national TV or national radio, or getting real big media campaigns and press releases and things, I'm a big, big, big fan of two main areas. One of them is social media, and the other one would definitely be relationships, joint ventures, and that type of thing. So it really depends on where you're starting at and what you're trying to get out there. But it really, you know, to me, everything applies to, really doesn't matter necessarily. I mean, every product or everything that people are trying to promote has some different element to it. But at the end of the day, it's either some sort of product or some sort of service. So, I mean, it really kind of spreads over the whole field, whether you're a coach or whether you're a filmmaker or whether you're a speaker or a comedian. It's all the same premise. It comes down to relationships, and it comes down to getting your stuff out there and building audiences and, you know, getting eyes. If you get eyes and you got good, and that's the other part of it, obviously it goes back to starting with the content. You got to put the best content you've got. You can't slack and skimp in that area. If you're putting out crap, you can market till you're blue in the face, and nobody's going to want to see it. And plus, it ruins your reputation. So that being said, the caveat or disclaimer of that is don't try to be perfect either. because I lived that life very well for a long time, trying to get everything perfect. So I'm a big fan of taking action and creating and adjusting as you go, but you definitely want to try and give your best, you know, your best attempts as you're moving along.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And you talked about social media, which
mm-hmm.
I think is a very effective medium
yeah.
for people to get their
yep.
workout.
Yeah.
I know you have like 38,000 followers on Twitter.
I do.
I mean, how did that happen? I mean, can you just take us through that? How did that happen? How do you build a following? What advice do you have for people who want to build up their own Twitter following or social media presence?
Well, my first answer is I give good tweet, which sounds like one of those conundrums or whatever, or have a secondary meaning to it. I got on there, you know, I must confess I was on there before anybody really knew about it, so that was definitely a start of it. And when I first saw it, like a lot of people when they got on, they're like, why do I want to go listen to someone that just, you know, took a pee in the bathroom or is eating a ham sandwich or whatever. And so then, you know, I ignored it for a while, but then I started seeing people were following me. I'm like, why are they following me? It's like, I'm not even saying anything, you know? And so I started to play with it, and I started to do a lot of research. I mean, I've studied internet marketing, and I've worked with tons of the top marketing gurus and, you know, and all the people in personal development and success and spirituality, you know, like all the industries and that as well. And so I've studied this stuff for years and years. And so I had one of my teachers kind of got us on Facebook and Twitter before anybody was really even ever talking about it. It was really, you know, at that point, Facebook was pretty much all college kids and high school and stuff. And Twitter was just a bunch of people sitting around going, yeah, I'm having a drink of water. Great. How's that working for you? You know? But what I started to discover with it is that, again, and this is my message in all content, because I know we have a few different areas to try and cover in a short period of time, it's be interesting, be different. And I'm a big fan of helping people, and myself included. on being as original as you can. And when I started on there, I was looking at what everybody else was doing, and I was kind of copying them because I didn't know any better. And I was trying to be some internet marketing guy, or I was trying to be the tech guy, like, you know, Guy Kowalski or some of these other people, and just playing it that way. But when I started going out there and putting out my content from my particular voice, the way that I do things, which has a very inspirational, edgy, and comedic stint to it, I found an audience. I started to find an audience. And the number one thing to do to build an audience is you need to interact with people. You need to – it's not just you shouting at people or talking to people, although I do that a little bit now where I do a lot of inspiration, you know, that I toss out. But anyone that responds back or anyone that says things to me, I definitely – I spent, especially when I first got started, I really went out and got to know about the first 200 or 300 people very closely. You know, I made sure I communicate with them, DM'd them, played with them, had conversations with them, and then respond as much as I can to people. It's a little harder at this stage, depending on, you know, how many people are kind of bouncing back. And it does get a little bit harder as you go, but I know a lot of people that really stick to that role. Kind of goes back to what Gary Vaynerchuk, I don't know if anyone knows who he is, who wrote a book called Crush It. He has 80,000 visitors a day on his wine library TV site. He started literally with like one person at a time. He just went into the trenches and communicated to people. So it's really important to give good content and to communicate, you know, whatever it is you're trying to do. And so again, it depends on, are you trying to drive people to buy something or a sale? Are you trying to build them as fans? You know, I can go over some of those other things a little bit down as we move into the questions, but that's the big one to start with. Definitely give good stuff and interact like crazy.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I mean, so often on, like, Twitter, you'll just see kind of, like, junk or blind links. But
right.
Alternatively, I know there's people out there like yourself who every tweet is something valuable. Either you're interacting with someone or it's
right.
It's something inspiring or funny. And like you said, you're creating content to really provide
yeah.
value with people.
Absolutely. And it's a good place to try out. I mean, you know, I look at social media as the place to be right now. Like I said, as far as on the online world, I don't think there's any place better. I mean, Facebook's up to well over 500 million users now. And so between the Facebook advertising now, which is in a lot of people's eyes, a lot of people that I talk to and who I respect and I'm watching and actually sharing that role too and seeing how it's working out, that is so much easier than Google AdWords. And you can get, because it's such a different, you can really hone in on the demographic literally to like, okay, I just want to talk to people that are 35 years old who live in Iowa who go to sleep at 8 o'clock at night. You know, it's like you can really hone in with that, and you can use images and there's no bit slaps like you get on Google, which is they've gotten really tough. I know we're not talking about ads, but I was just kind of bringing that up, that there's a massive audience out there. So people that have films, people that have fan pages, people that have music, I mean, that is a great source, relatively inexpensive, because there's ways to get into the advertising, which I can't go into now, but you can go inside that platform, and if you know what you're doing, you can really bring it down to where it's very inexpensive per click, whereas opposed to like something on, you know, Google may cost you a dollar a keyword or a dollar a click. You know, it all depends on the marketplace, obviously, but you can really get stuff down there for, you know, 5, 10 cents, 15 cents, 3 cents. I mean, you know, it depends what you're working on. But I think those two arenas are, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. It's where the eyeballs are. It's where the crowds are. Those are the big ones. They've stuck around for a while. Will they last forever? Don't know. But they're definitely the ones. And I think that they're good for four things, especially Twitter and Facebook. This is my take on it. That number one, you can create and try out your content, right? So again, if you're a speaker,
yeah.
if you're an author, if you want to give away a chapter of your book, if you want to try a new concept, if you're a comedian, if you're a film, you know, filmmaker, and you want to put out like your trailer or even a concept of something or your first little video attempt, if you build up a fan base and you build up an audience, you know, people will give you their feedback, and it's a great way to get eyeballs. So that's part of it. Next part is, like I just previously mentioned, is to build fans. Because, again, if you're taking care of people, it's not about you. First and foremost,
right.
it's about how can I serve? How can I
right.
serve? How can I create, how can I add value to people's lives? Because a lot of people get caught up in, well, it's about me, go look at my stuff, and nobody cares. Everybody's
right.
thinking about themselves first. It's just kind of like, you know, a place that everybody does. They start with their own lives and their own problems. They're not necessarily watching everybody else just for inspiration and things. I mean, they do because they're looking, but they're looking to solve a problem or they're looking to be entertained. And so I think it's really important to build that audience up, and you could really do well with that on Twitter and Facebook between the fan pages and, you know, and like we just talked about on Twitter. And number three, you can use it to drive traffic to, again, to your movie trailer, to your book trailer, to your free chapter giveaway, to a blog post that's got a giveaway in it. You can use it for, you know, a webinar. I mean, again, depending on what industry, because I know there's people from all different industries that are going to be listening to this. So, but it's a great place to get traffic, and it's where the eyeballs are. I mean, between Google, or not Google, between YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, you got quite a few eyeballs on there. So it's like, you know, you don't need to be everywhere. You don't need to be writing articles all over the place or trying this one or going to Craigslist. Or there's so many places. When I first got on here, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm just going to go hang myself now. You know, it's like I'm just not going to, like, spend 15 hours trying to learn every single one of these things. And so I'm a social guy, and I love connecting with people. And so to me, the whole social media experience has been – it's just been phenomenal for me. And the last one that a lot of people overlook, which I think is one of the absolute biggest, is building relationships with key players in your industry and joint ventures, you know, to create joint venture partners. I have met more incredible people to work with, and high-profile celebrities and business owners, you know, best-selling authors, massive filmmakers, even people that have, you know, had Grammys and Oscars. You'd be surprised who you can meet on there if you position it properly and you do it from a place of service again. Key example, which I think I was going to share with you, but I kept it a secret.
Yeah.
Even as early as yesterday, recent as yesterday, how's that? I had an intuition, because I have a book, you know, that contest that we were in together, the Next Top Spiritual
yeah,
contest.
Next top.
You know, I did really well in that contest. I went to the top 1%, and I think it was like 20 out of 3,000 or whatever it was. And
wow.
I kind of put it down, you know, so like I did well. I got a fair amount of buzz, and I didn't make it to the final round because I think I scared them because I got a big mouth.
Real quick, wait, tell people
yeah.
about your book, though. I mean, I'm not trying to plug it, but it's just so people know what it was about.
Well, it's not on the market yet, but it's I'm working on two. I mean, the one from the contest that I did is basically my story. It's called Living in a Human Suit, One Man's Hilarious, Heartfelt, and Irreverent Romp Through Self-Help Hell, The Search for God and the Meaning of Life. And so it's basically my 20 years of going down the rabbit hole, going deep in the trenches, sharing all my wisdom, but also just really helping people laugh and lighten up and be able to laugh at their shit, because I went through a lot. And so I've got a lot of stories in there, you know, about the characters and all the experiences that I've had. So it's a really fun thing, and it's a big vision for me, because it's going to be a feature film. It's going to be a one-man show. It's going to have all kinds of great stuff with it. And so back to that story, so I had an intuition, and that's another thing. I know we've got some bullet points, but things just pour out when I talk sometimes. So I think it's really, really important when it comes to marketing that a lot of people overlook as well, is when you get an intuitive hit, follow it. If it doesn't make any sense, it doesn't matter. Listen to your intuition every single time. Because you can have a perfect plan or go get someone's, like, you know, 5 steps or 10 steps and tactics. At the end of the day, they may mean nothing's going to happen, but you get this one intuitive hit and boom. Like, for instance, this is what happened to me yesterday. So a couple days ago, maybe about 3 or 4 days ago, I had a hit. I won't mention the names or the publisher, but I had a hit, and I'm like, you know what? I want to build a relationship with this person. Happens to be the owner of one of the biggest personal development publishers out there, like in the top one or two. And I just reached out via social media, okay, and had a few emails back and forth, and then all of a sudden yesterday I got invited. Yeah, definitely, please send me your book. I'd like to see it.
Wow.
The top person of the whole firm. No gatekeepers, no, you know, you know, apply through submissions or whatever, literally the top person in the place, through social media, through a couple emails. So I say that not to impress anybody, but to show you about intuition and to say, you know, you can't be afraid. If you believe in what you have and you're passionate about what you have, you can't be afraid to promote yourself. You can't be afraid to ask for help. You can't be afraid, you know, of any of that. And I think a lot of people in the spiritual entertainment world, and definitely in the spiritual entrepreneur world, because I have a lot of clients from that place, they really frown upon selling. And I think there's just a negative connotation around selling and promoting and marketing. If you can get it to in your head that it's not about pitching or any of that stuff, but it really comes down to sharing. I'm going to share something I'm passionate about that can help people, that can serve people. And so, like, you know, for instance, if it's a coaching client, you're in pain, you want a transformation, I can help. I'm not pitching you, but I can help. Here's what it costs. You know, if I can serve you, great. If you're ready for a change, come on over. I'll hold your hand and we'll make this happen. If not, then you can stay where you're at and see what that costs you over time. Same thing with if you have a product that you're trying to get out there, a book or a film or a CD, you know, music CD or any of this stuff, you got to be able to promote yourself, because there's people with no talent that are making it huge out there. Half the game is being bold enough to kind of go out and believe in yourself. And I think so many wonderful, spirited, heartfelt, soul-filled people, they freak out over promoting, marketing, putting themselves out there. And it's very disheartening. And I encourage everybody to try and take a look at that if you are having that issue, that it's almost like giving the finger to the universe is what I say. It's like when you've been given a gift and you're afraid to put yourself out there and you're not doing it, it's like giving the finger to the universe, basically saying, you know what, whatever. It's like, I'm not going to do this.
And yeah.
It's just fear, you know, so yeah.
No, I think that's a good point. I mean, that's something I think a lot of people, including myself at times, struggle with, but the way you put it makes sense. I mean, if you have a gift that can serve someone else, I think you have an obligation to let other people know that you have something of value to offer them.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, again, it comes from a point of passion, and I think passion comes from God, it comes from the universe, it comes from whatever you want to call it, the divine presence. And I think to honor that inside you means that you're willing to step up and say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to push. I don't need to be, you know, aggressive. I mean, you can be aggressive and hustle. It's not a bad trait. But, you know, I'm just here to share and show people what I have. And if it's quality and it's going to serve people and it's from your heart, you know what, someone's going to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Including,
absolutely.
You know, people are looking for content all the time. You know, all these producers and cable shows and I mean, just everyone's looking for content, you know, so more than ever, there's so many stations and channels and radios. I mean, there's just so much now that the opportunity is better than it's ever been. But I just, you know, don't be afraid of putting your stuff out there. It's really important.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
I'm being all serious for a comedian. We're supposed to get nuts, aren't we?
Yeah, well, like the thing, I like the phrase lighten up.
No, I know. Yeah, yeah.
A lot.
Well, you know, my mantra, live your truth, laugh your ass off, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's one part about the content you create that I really like. I mean,
can
you talk a little bit about that? I mean, you combine spirituality with kind of humor and inspiration. I mean,
you know, that's one of those things that's just been an evolutionary process for me. Because I went through such a heavy period of, and that's why I coined that phrase, you know, self-help hell. I mean, I was in it, dude. I was in it. I mean,
what is it? I think I get it, but what do you mean by that?
It's my tongue-in-cheek take. It basically means that I was literally at one point in my life. I mean, I've read 800 books. I've studied with like teachers all over the world, masters and so-called masters, and everybody in between, and I've seen so much, and I've worked behind the scenes with a lot of these people, and there's a lot of regurgitation out there, and there's also, I mean, because a lot of people are just trying to make their products and their projects, and there's only so much truth in the world, and it doesn't have to be so complicated. And what happened to me, I read 800 books, I'm studying all this stuff, I'm listening to this guy's workshop, that guy, I was literally at one point in my life spending 6 hours a day doing rituals. Like getting up in the morning, taking a salt bath to cleanse my aura. Then I was like, I had to ask my pendulum like what I could eat or not eat, and you know, and then I had to send love to the mineral kingdom and the animal kingdom and the human kingdom. And I'm sending energy out, and then I'm like running around, jumping up and down on one leg, and I mean, just all these techniques and whatever, just to like, I'm just like, this is exhausting. It's like, I want to hang myself. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, I think I've been...
You know, this 10-step, that 5-step, whatever, and then I just got to a point where I started to laugh, because, I mean, I just did so many things that were just outrageous. I have some of them, you know, that I've written about on my website, like in my bio and things, just you know, being rolfed and stepping on, or, you know, walking on fire, or being rolfed by a guy with big hands. I had a spiritual haircut, which nobody would ever get. I mean, it was like right out of a Seinfeld episode. I couldn't even explain it without doing it on video and completely doing it over. But it was like just the weirdest things, trying to find this elusive it, the answer, whatever, that everyone else, you know, they're all saying they have. And I think what happens at the end of the day is, you know, everyone's at different evolutionary parts of their lives and different parts of their journey. But I think that our industry, the spiritual personal development industry, and as you know, I'm a little bit outspoken about this stuff. I come from the heart, but I also share my experience. I think there's a lot of presupposition in people's promotions and the way all these workshops and what they play on people's emotions, and there's a presupposition that people are broken. And
yeah.
I felt like I was broken, and I felt like somebody else was looking for someone to fix me for years. And my role in life is to help people remember their own power and their own truth, and it's not out there. It's not with these other people. It's like, yeah, you can have mentors and coaches and, you know, and teachers, because I have plenty. I've been through tons of them in my life. But at some point, you got to realize, you know what, the power's always been there. It's never been gone. We just kept it hidden with the smoke and mirrors. And
right.
So I really started to understand that and take my own power back. And then I just started to laugh at all my own shit.
Right.
Because I was going through so much pain and struggling and all this stuff, and, you know, being a millionaire at 28, it's like my first line in my book is, at 28 I was a millionaire living the American dream. Then I found God, self-help, and Dr. Phil, and I've been fucked up ever since. You know,
I love
it's like,
that line.
Yeah, it's a great line. It's a good hook. It's a good opener. And
remember,
you know,
yeah.
And I say it tongue-in-cheek, but it's true, because I didn't know any better. I was completely asleep. I'm like, you know what? I'm not rubbing the naked genie's ass from The Secret. It's like, I'm not visualizing. I'm not doing anything. And meanwhile, I'm making $1 million. And all of a sudden, I started visualizing and doing all these affirmations. And all of a sudden, everything started to go away. So it was like, you know, that was my experience. So I like to share that journey. Now, that I'm not bashing anything, because, you know, I've learned so much now. I mean, I'm in a whole different world than I was when I first started with this. And there's all different layers and levels of this path and the spiritual, you know, the evolution stage. And I don't laugh at it, but I do laugh at it, because it's just really funny sometimes. You know, we're these infinite spirits who strapped on human suits to come play this game, and we forget we're the spirits. We think we're the suits, and we think all this is so real. And it can really mess you up, you know.
Okay.
And so I just think it's really important to go back to your truth and to also laugh at this stuff and realize that it's just a story, you know, and that's what makes it kind of fun.
I agree. Well, if you don't mind, I might put you on the spot a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Can you give maybe an example? Like, you've given some good advice about promotional strategies and kind of like your marketing theory.
Right.
Do you have any examples of, like, maybe a product or service that you've offered and how
I just did my first show in the UK, and the entire audience came from social media.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
everybody that showed up, everybody that came and showed up was all basically from Facebook and Twitter, mostly Facebook, actually.
That's amazing.
If that's what you're talking about. It was like building up relationships, right? People seeing,
yeah.
You know, seeing what I do. And then, because I didn't even market it very heavily, to be honest with you, but, you know, people were showing up. And, you know, that's one example. Then on another extreme, for a client, like I've done launches, I do a lot of launches for people, you know, just doing these whole promotional launches around combining things like a product launch with a sale. I don't want to confuse people with all this internet mumbo jumbo, but you know, basically taking someone that's got a small list and then promoting and creating a series, a campaign, basically. You know, campaigns around putting out videos, putting out content, and leading people down to a specific day, to a specific launch period of a product, for instance, because you're talking about more of a product now, and leading people to that space and having incredible success. I mean, again, depending on the list size and the quality of the audience and your relationship, because it's all about relationships. There's so much you could do, and it's the same thing. And then even like that event was turned into, you know, we taped it and filmed it and all that, and that's going to be a product too. It's going to be coming out pretty soon.
That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I mean, that's just one example of things you could do with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm probably going to open up the line to see if we have any questions. But do you have any other? Before I do that, is there any other thoughts you wanted to share?
I'm sure they'll come up. We'll see, because I know we have about a half an hour left or something.
Yeah. So
yeah. I'm sure. You know, we'll see if we can handle some questions, and then we can kind of come back and improvise. Maybe do a comedy show. I don't know.
So for everyone who's on the line, I'm gonna unmute it, and please, I would encourage you to ask any question, and we'll just see what happens.
Right on.
Okay, the line should be open up now, so if anyone has any questions, feel free to speak into the space.
Don't be shy now.
Well, Scott, I have a few questions.
Okay.
Tell me about your book. I mean, I've self-published a book. I would love to publish it. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you go from self-publishing a book to, you know, getting it published? I mean, that's a long process. Was that your goal? Was that your intention?
Originally, I mean, I have a philosophy right now of, you know what? It's like, I don't kiss anybody's butt. If someone sees that this is a really unique opportunity and it's very different, and you know, it's a really fresh new perspective on the industry, and I think it's where it's going. And I've got some pretty big people behind me right now that are, you know, saying that this movement that I'm kind of moving towards, this mix of wisdom with comedy, is kind of the next thing. Because so much of the, you know, I mean, 50 years, 100 years of the same stuff just being packaged with a different title every minute. And so I think, first and foremost, I was like, you know, I did that contest because I was like, I just want to, you know, get everything created. So that was one of the impetuses that got me out there. I was like, I'm just going to put myself, because I'm big with my clients about public accountability.
Yeah.
And so I just put it out there. I'm like, if I make the announcement, guess what? I got to do it. And that's, truthfully, that's one of the reasons I contacted that publisher too, because I'm like, if they say yes, I know I got to really get this thing finished up, you know, as opposed to doing what everyone else would tell you to do, which is like, make sure you're ready. When they say yes, you've got it to give them right away. This person's, you know, relatively laid back, so I'm not worried about like if it takes a couple extra weeks to polish up the proposal and all that. But so the original intention with that was, yeah, I wanted to get it published. I thought that the contest, I mean, I had no idea I was going to go that far. You know, and that was really cool. That kind of told me that a lot of people, you know, are interested in that style. And the video I made was just pure, you know, pure comical, pretty much. It was just a total tongue-in-cheek spoof of the personal development industry. And it was different because everyone else was just kind of doing a three-minute, you know, talking head video and just going, this book's about blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I made like a whole presentation out of it, which again is, you know, if you can stand out from the crowd, it really, really helps. Anyway, back to your question. So then I thought, okay, we'll see where the book contest goes. I figured as long as I got that far, and obviously, you know, with the credibility of Hampton Roads and Neil Donald Walsh's publisher and James Twyman, which are two of the biggest people in the industry, having that credibility and kind of that far along, I was like, I can leverage this now into getting an agent. And I kind of put it on the back burner because I had some issues with my family and, you know, my parents getting sick and stuff. So I kind of put it down for a while. And I just got back into it, and I said, and I started writing another book actually 2 days ago, this other vision that I've had, that I'm just going to go for an ebook, because here's the thing. Here's the fine line. With publishing, and I don't claim to be an expert in publishing, so I'll put that caveat up, but you know, I study an awful lot, and I have a ton of friends that are in all these industries, so very successful people. And I think we are starting to get, you know, the whole point about a publisher is getting distribution into the bookstore. That's the biggest thing you can get, especially out of the gates. You know, it's like if you're a big person, you know, you might get some budgets and marketing budgets and other things they could do, and some PR they give you. But generally, when you're a newbie and you're first starting out, you're not going to get much, but to get into a bookstore is definitely a help. And so, but here's my other side of that coin. If you're a good marketer and you can build up an audience, we're almost at a stage right now. I've seen a lot of stats. Again, don't quote me, you know, complete perfection here, but I've seen a lot of stats that the ebook market, which I never would have suspected, is starting to overtake the hard books now. And so my thing is, if you can tell a good story, and you can get the eyeballs, and you know how to market and stuff, and especially if you've got relationships. Like, I've got relationships with all these joint venture partners. You know, stuff can really be blasted out there and get to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people. I'm not sure you necessarily need to pay or to have it with a publisher where you get a dollar a book or whatever, $1, $2 a book, when you can basically make the whole thing or 50% if you do an affiliate deal. So, you know, I mean, that's kind of the plan. But I figure right now, I thought it's a good thing. If I have that going on, plus this other publisher now, you know, I can even approach an agent right now and say, hey, look, this happened over with this contest with this big house and this big author. Now there's another big one interested. You guys might want to take a look. And again, that's just being confident now and
right.
saying, you know, maybe there's something that I could leverage. I'm not attached to any of it. If it doesn't happen, then I'm just going to self-publish it because, truthfully, you know, I want to do my thing with it anyway, because I have a vision I've had for years with it that I wanted to make it into a movie, because it's going to be a really funny movie and it's going to be really life changing. It's got a big universal message in it. Yeah. So yeah, that's if I answered that question.
Well, I definitely have some more follow up questions, but I'll pause for a few moments and just
see if anyone else has any.
If anybody wants to jump in, because I'll just pause for a few moments to see if anyone wants to jump in.
Are we still off mute?
Yeah, let me make sure we are unmuted.
Okay. That would help.
No, we should be unmuted now, but we should have been unmuted before. But yeah, no, I had some other questions I wanted to ask.
Okay.
You brought up an agent, and then you also brought up contacting a publisher. So
mm-hmm.
I'm just like, you don't. It sounds like from what you were saying, you don't have an agent, but you just went straight to contact.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of telling the rules to kiss my spiritual ass. I really am. Like, I had, I have a great story out here. There's, I won't name any names again because I love everybody, but I don't believe in rules. I don't mean that like I think, you know, for a book proposal, for instance, you know, you don't just like send them a video and go, hey, will you buy my book or whatever. I mean, there are rules and templates and certain things that need to follow and specific to certain industries. And if you get on, you know, the Today Show, you don't go on there and start swearing, you know, so I'm not saying all of that, but I'm a big fan at like when people tell me, oh, you can't get this or you got to start here or you got to do that. I'm like, yeah, okay, that's your story. Because you know what? I'm an infinite being of light. It's like I'm made from the Creator. It's like I can do lots of things that don't have to be so, you know, so templated out like that. And so a good story was I saw an ad one time not too long ago for a TV host for something that I would fit very well in. And I had just prior been to one of the big host managers out here, had put on a little workshop and seminar, and was giving all the rules out, right? Like, you know, you have to have a sizzle reel, you've got to have this, you got to have that, and you know, before you can approach anybody, you have to have an agent, you have to have a manager, and all this stuff. And I just saw an ad, and I answered it, And I got a call back, and I went in to audition for it, and it turned out it was actually their company.
Wow.
The one that was telling me that you have to have all this other stuff, I just basically wrote a letter and said, you know, and then I got a call in. And so, you know, I've had things like that happen numerous times. That's how I met Stephen Simon back in the day. We talked about that a little bit yesterday. I just reached out to him. I saw his film, you know, and I reached out to him, wrote him, or I think I contacted, this was a while ago when I first met him. There was an article in a magazine. I reached out to the writer, and I got Stephen's information, and I wrote Stephen, like, this was crazy. I think I wrote him, like, a 10-page letter.
Wow.
And just, like, totally poured my heart out and confessed, like, you know, he's just doing what I want to do and the film and all this other stuff. And, you know, much to my chagrin, I got a phone call from him, like I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks later. And so that's how I met him, and then we kind of drifted off a little bit, and he moved out of California. I was in Chicago at that time, and now we just became really good friends again. We're like really, really good friends, and you know, it all came from, you know, I reconnected with him off of social media again, actually.
Yeah, so, it's funny you mention that, because I remember when he followed me on Twitter, I was so excited, and I just like sent him a message, and I was like,
yeah.
Stephen Simon, I'm honored that you followed me. And he's like, I'm honored that you followed me.
I know, he's just a regular dude like anybody else. I mean, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's made some big films. And, you know, I mean, you know, that last big film was a beautiful film, you know, What Dreams May Come. That was a beautiful film with Robin Williams and Cuba Gooding. But he kind of went off and did his thing, and he found his niche and, you know, went off and started Spiritual Cinema Circle because he was fed up with the Hollywood, you know, kind of lack of heartfelt movies and all that. And he's even got that old Hollywood thing going on right now. He's doing his thing, and he's done very well with it. And so, you know, back to the social media and just outside of social media, just in general, I'm a real big fan of just going for it. You know, it's like if you can go to a publisher, they tell you they won't take unsolicited stuff. Well, you know what? I just got an unsolicited thing, you know, invited. I mean, I just think that's how the universe works. I think there's a lot of rules out there. People... You know, I think this is what I've learned in the with all the teachers and everything too, you know. And again, I have the utmost respect for anyone that goes out in the world with something to share. You know, not everyone's got the heart for it. A lot of people do have an agenda, and that's fine. You know, it's like, I mean, they just have their own demons to deal with around that. But I respect anyone that can go out into the world and shine their light, help people do whatever. But I think there's a lot of people spitting out rules about, you know, it has to be done this way or it has to be done that way. Same thing with, you know, spiritual and personal development teachers. Oh, you got to do these 10 steps or you got to do this. Or, it's, you know what, I don't believe it. Hasn't been my experience. I mean, that's all I can do is share my experience. I know it sometimes sounds a little flamboyant, but.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, I mean, I think there is some value in some of those rules, but then you always hear exceptions to them.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it is. It's like I'm not saying go out and just say screw every rule out there. Like I was saying, again, I'm not going to go on the Today Show or you know, or Ellen and go on there and start swearing on national TV or anything. And I'll respect what, you know, what the sound bites are and what producers say. So it's not about being a jerk, but it's kind of saying, you know what, if the herd is all doing the same thing, try something different.
Exactly.
You know, and believe in yourself and just hold your vision while you take action. Because my thing is this. My thing is, if you have your vision and you're taking action and you've got the universal energy on your side, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Right?
You never know.
Anything can open for you, because that power is going to be higher than any man-made rules.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my take on it.
No, you're so right. I mean, one author who I really like is a guy named Jeff Brown, who's mm-hmm. not super well known, but he, his first book, he built up an audience because
right.
he self-published it,
yep.
And he would, like, 100 books to a homeless person every day, and then pay, and then if the homeless person sold a book to someone, the homeless person keep part of the money, and he eventually got it published, but that's
yeah.
how, like, he built up an audience.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so I brought that up because, like you say, there's really no set rules. You always can find a way to get your work out there.
I think innovation always you know, is always rewarded. Now, that being said, I think modeling success and modeling others can be a great way to speed up your process. But like I said before, you know, don't ever override your intuition or the universal power based on some formula that someone else tells you, because it might not be for you.
Again, I definitely have some more follow-up questions, but I will pause for a moment to see if anybody wants to jump in.
Anybody have any questions? Good time. Let's wrap.
No, you mentioned earlier about you're going to turn your book into a film.
Yep.
I get so many emails, people asking me, how do I turn my book into a movie?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, so why don't you tell them, how does that work, or how are you planning on doing that?
Well, different versions of it. It depends on what unfolds with the, you know, with the success of the book. It's something that I'm holding on to because I know I have to do it. It's one of those things that just it won't go away, and it's one of my real big visions and dreams I've had for a while. So, again, there's different levels. There's, you know, I could do it on a relatively shoestring kind of budget. We're in a digital world now. It doesn't cost much to go do things, right?
Right.
Then there's, you know, steps up with that, and maybe going out and still being your own independent producer, or find someone that believes in your vision who's a producer that can go out and maybe raise some private funding. And then obviously if you've got a great script and you've got a good book and things are moving along and you've got eyeballs and success, it gives you a lot more leverage and a lot more clout to start approaching some of the studios and some of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious about that because I have friends who write a screenplay, and kind of like traditional logic is just try to find a manager and just send them to as many managers as you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually think that might work, but I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
Well, I live in Hollywood, and like I said, when I got here, I heard the same broken record story from everybody. It's like, oh, you got to start at the bottom. Got to go be, you know, earn $90 a week and go get people coffee or whatever and be abused and all this. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to have any of that. It's like, I'm an entrepreneur. So, and then the smart people were saying, you know what, you got some material, you have an idea, just be a producer and go do it. I mean, I'm a big fan of everything starts with a decision, everything. And it's not about, you know, because our minds are going to come in and go, oh, well, that can't be done, whatever. But you know what, it starts with what's the end result you want. If the end result is I want a film or I want to create a film, then you start with that and you let that vision unfold for you and you ask what wants to unfold in your meditations or whatever other, you know, versions of things you do, and you start taking action on that, moving towards it, and never let go until you reach that dream. And there's a lot of magic that can unfold. I think we forget. And, you know, there's always going to be struggles and challenges and obstacles because there just is. It's the way it's set up. And I think that's the other thing, too. It's like I think we talked a little bit before about the expectations and the presupposition, again, of that a lot of the gurus are kind of talking down at some level. Not all of them. There's a lot of very big, heartfelt teachers out there. But, you know, there's a lot of that piece I was talking about, that assuming people are broken need to be fixed. And I think it's the same thing with the steps and the versions of how you do all this stuff. I mean, I'm just a really big fan of, if you just decide something, you know, you'd be surprised what can unfold. And what I was getting at is I think a lot of the teachers try and paint some false pictures about if you just do this and you just do this, or you just vibrate high, you know, everything's going to work out perfectly and it's all going to be great and smooth. But you know what? I haven't heard one master that's ever walked on this planet that didn't suffer at some level.
Yeah.
Have you read one story from any master teacher that didn't go through some sort of suffering and pain? And I think that's the being real thing, because I think we're being sold this bag of tricks, and because we're in this world of, you know, packages and programs and launches and all these other things and just constant sell of new products and new workshops and all this thing. And again, it's all good. There's a lot of good-hearted, good intentions out there. But I think you need to be real, too. You know, it's like people beat themselves up because they're watching The Secret and it's not working. Because there might be something missing besides just visualizing and trying to vibrate. You know, maybe God has a different plan. Maybe your higher self has, you know, signed up for different lessons, and it might not work out just because you're trying, your character that you're playing is trying to make that happen. And I think that there's not a lot of people talking about that. And so what I feel part of that message, part of my mission and part of the message in general to people is, you know what, it's part of the human condition, it's part of life. Yes, we're these infinite spiritual beings. We are on a ride, it is a game, but there are some things that are going to come up. It's part of the ride, and there's always going to be something. I had some great teachers that I studied with over the years that said, you know, there was a story about a bird who was all excited. It was like trying to fly up this tree and fly up this tree, and finally it was looking at this nest, and it finally got up there, and after all this struggle and trying to go, oh, I finally made it. And then it lands on the nest, looks up, and there's another nest above it. Right? And then it goes up there, and there's another nest. It's never ending. And I think, you know, there's a mystery here. It's like no human's going to have it all figured out. Everyone's just spitting out what they've read or what they've experienced. I don't know that anyone knows the absolute truth of how anything works. You know?
Yeah.
I know that sounds kind of outspoken, but I think it's more from a humility place of, you know, there's something bigger. Yes, we are part of that, and we do have that inside of us. But there's something bigger going on here, and there is a mystery. We don't have the mystery all figured out. And so I think it's just really important for people, whatever they're doing on these paths, whether it's for their career, whether it's for their art, whether it's for their passions, to do the things that matter, do the things, you know, to move you forward. Take the steps, have the marketing plans, have the strategies, take actions, hold the faith, hold the vision, plug in, feel good, vibrate high, you know, it's like vibrate on this, vibrate on that. I use all of it every day, but I also know that you have to just be kind to yourself too, because it's not all going to work out exactly as you planned. Sometimes it'll be better, sometimes it won't work out at all. But
yeah.
There's always a reason for stuff, you know, it's kind of like being unattached and understanding that, you know what, I'm not always going to feel good 24/7. I'm not going to be blissed out just because they're telling me to vibrate and I should feel good all the time. Because sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just can't get back there. And I think my message is, on that level, I don't know where we're going up on this tangent, but I'm just channeling it through,
good.
Don't beat yourself up. Be kind to yourself. Laugh at your drama a little bit. It's just a ride, you know. It's like, it's not the end of the world, any of it, really.
No, I think that's so important that you brought that up, especially for filmmakers and authors out there.
Yeah.
Because you're right, when we create this vision for a book or a movie and we're like, it has to be this way.
Right.
And you run into an obstacle, and all of a sudden, if you're like listening to like The Secret and you're like, oh shit, I don't feel good right now. Now I'm going to feel even worse.
My
like,
fault, and now I'm going to draw in this. And yeah, I know.
Yeah, and like you said, it's like, no, that's part of like the human condition or your humanity.
Yeah,
it is. Those obstacles.
Yeah, we're all trying to figure it out. We're all, you know, it's like one of my favorite, I forget what movie that was. It was one of the movies from Spiritual Cinema Circle, actually. It was with Jonathan Winters, right before he died. With Jonathan Winters and Mel, remember that lady comedian TV? I forget what it was. Anyway, but there was a great thing. We're all just visitors passing through, black, white, yellow, brown, whatever. It's like, don't blow the visit. we're just visiting. It's just, you know, give it your best, but go easy on yourself. Is my thing. You know, lighten up, give it your all, but don't grab onto everything because it just pushes it away anyway. And there's so much out of our control. I don't care what anyone says about this visualizing and secret and all this other stuff. There's so much out of our control. If you really tracked people following verbatim, you know, the law of attraction, The Secret, I would say probably rough estimate would be maybe 30% of things actually come true at best. So
yeah.
If it's not an exact science, there's other things that may be in a higher power that, you know, those things that we think we want maybe aren't for our highest good.
Yeah,
or maybe
absolutely.
It's not your time yet. Maybe it's not your time yet. Maybe it's not your lesson. I mean, Tyler Perry, I was telling you about my hero, one of my heroes, Tyler Perry. I mean, he was living in his Volkswagen or in his car or whatever, trying to sell his first play. Now he's done over half a billion in revenues.
Yeah, and not only that, I'm so glad you brought him up.
Yeah.
But he came from an extremely abusive childhood.
Massive abuse, yeah.
That could never be explained, really, with any rational
explanation. No.
But he was able to use that pain to help, like, work through it. And
His story was, I think I shared with you before, I remember his big turning point was he was watching the Oprah show, and she said writing is cathartic, very cathartic, you know, writing your pain, basically, writing your stories and stuff. And he said, I'm not smart enough to know what cathartic is, so I had to look it up. And then he started writing, and he said he had no idea. He was literally just writing to release his own stuff. And he had no idea that it would touch so many people on so many levels, and so many people could relate to those stories.
Yeah.
And that's his mission. And the reason I really look at him as one of my mentors, and I have a dream, you know, to meet him and work with him one day at some point, because, I mean, sure, he's a big mogul and all that, but he's really inspired me because he mixes. I mean, he's like me. He mixes these deep stories with crazy characters and comedy. I mean, he's got his Madea and Uncle Joe and all this stuff. And so he has these deep, deep transformational stories and shining a light on some of these heavy-duty issues. But then he just has all this comic relief in there too. And I relate to that deeply because that's my thing. I can't be serious all the time, and I can't just be, you know, all comedy. I think we got some noise in the background.
Good. There's people out there. If anybody wants to speak into the space, feel free. We got a few more minutes left.
Right.
I think.
I have a shy audience. I used to be shy. Believe it or not, I was quite shy.
it's understandable because it can be tough to start talking about your book or your movie.
Yeah,
I remember when I first wrote my book, I was like, I don't want to tell anybody about this.
Oh, I know. I had that same thing, putting up the proposal online, putting up the first chapters, and it's like, there goes the secret.
Yeah. So that's definitely understandable.
Yeah.
I'll pause for another moment because we do have a few more minutes left, and I want to respect people's time. And
absolutely.
So I'll give it another moment.
It's Phil Jackson here.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment and just note that I think it's really compelling that the real theme that goes through everything I've heard you saying tonight is you've got to be authentic to yourself and to your higher self.
Right.
And what you're trying to create, but also back to the social media and connecting with people. I thought it was profound that you said you just sent out your message and all of a sudden you had an audience.
Right. Yeah.
That's the ultimate secret, I think.
Yeah, I think, you know, here's my thing. I got this message loud and clear recently. I think I've been doing it for a little while. And, I mean, you know me pretty well from our coaching days. But, you know, I struggled a lot. I still struggle with many things. You know, where I don't claim to be perfect in any way, shape, or form. But I've learned about self-expression, and I've really learned about being real and being authentic. And I think now more than ever, and you know this because you're into the marketing world too, now more than ever, we are making a shift in our society where people are just tired of the pitching and tired of the inauthenticity and the agendas and just the constant sell, sell, sell. And I think that any leader, especially even like the speakers and leaders and anyone that's got any message to share, what we relate to is a humanity now, because just what I was saying with the secret and people beating themselves up and saying, I'm doing all this, but it's not working, or, you know what, I'm doing these five steps, but I'm still not getting the results, what's wrong with me, and all that kind of thing. I think that if you go behind the scenes and talk to, like I said, I've worked with many, many of the big people out there, and there's a lot of people that aren't walking their talk. There's a lot of people that aren't sharing their full stories. And I think that we are in a day and age right now, if you want to stand out from the crowd, yes, be original, yes, be innovative. And you know, that's why I started that thing, the Just Do You revolution, right? It's like so many people are lost and afraid to express their true selves. And and I know you've done a great job at it. It's like, you know, we had some fun work together as well. But I think the missing piece on top of that, the extra layer, is you need to tell your story. You need to share your pain. You need to share your vulnerability with the world, because that's what humanity relates to. They don't only relate to perfection and, oh, I got it all figured out. Listen to me. Here, look at my fancy car.
Yeah.
You know, there's humanity. The heart is missing. And I think the people that really embrace that, like I look at Tyler Perry and Oprah, some of the bigger people that really made it big in the world, you know, the Richard Bransons, all these people, they're very authentic. And they share their truth. They don't hide from their stories of abuse or I struggled or I went bankrupt four times before like this movie took off or, you know, and I think there's so many people trying to put on these masks and these poses and faces of you know, it's like, oh, I can't show anybody my flaws. We're all flawed. We're all perfect inside, but we're all flawed in our human form. So it's like, you just have to laugh at it. But I really honestly think that is the next evolution. No matter what industry you're in, people want to relate to your humanity, the stuff that you've gone through, because that's where they're going to hit it. And then, you know, then you could use your leadership skills and your wisdom and whatever else you have to share to help people maybe save them some pain and time or inspire them or entertain them or whatever it is. But I think people really relate to that. I think that's where it's at right now. I think that's where it's always been. We just kind of got lost.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. And Scott definitely is a man who speaks and lives his truth. I've gotten to know him pretty well, actually, pretty recently, the last year or two, and gotten to work with him, and he's gone out of his way to just give me heartfelt advice with various areas of my life, with my blog and website, and give me some spiritual and life coaching as well. So I would really encourage anyone on the call, if they have any follow-up questions, to try to get in touch with Scott, because really, really does speak and live his truth from a place of authenticity and very, very heart-centered.
Thank you. It's been a long journey. And you know what? I always feel like it's just starting. But yeah, if anyone wants to reach out, say hello, go to my website or get on my email list, things like that, you can go to scottbrandonhoffman.com. It's scottbrandonhoffman.com. You can kind of see what I'm up to over there, and you can sign up for my email so I can keep in touch with you on that. And then also, if you want to reach out, you're looking for any help or you have a question, you want any coaching or consulting, whether in life or business, because I think they both go together, truthfully. And I'm not going to be doing the one-on-one stuff much longer, but I'll just put that out there for this call that I'm still open, you know, for a little bit of that, but I'm kind of moving on to some other things now because there's a lot of stuff taken off. But you can email me at scott@scottbrandonhoffman.com. And, you know, feel free to say hello, make a comment, question, you know, inquiry about any way I can support you would be awesome.
Scott, thank you so much for your time tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I think I want to respect your time. And I know we had you for an hour, and you gave us a few more minutes, so
okay.
I will I'll let you go, but thanks again for being on the call.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I appreciate being the am I the first one in this series?
You are. You are.
I feel honored and privileged.
Yeah, this is wonderful.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
All right. Well, I will let you go, and
okay.
Thanks again.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you. All right, good night, everybody.